Are you content? Well, let me tell you a true story about a person called George Phillips. Okay, he was based in the US. True story. This guy, George Phillips. Now, he was going to bed when his wife told him that he had left the lights on in his workshop. George went to turn off the lights, but he saw through the window that there were some people in his workshop in the process of stealing his tools. He immediately phoned the police, who asked, "Are they inside your house?" George answered, "No, they're out in my workshop." The officer replied that all the patrol cars were busy right now. All the police are busy right now. And that he should simply lock his door and a police car would be sent out when one was available. Now, George said, okay. He hung up. He counted 1 to 30 and he phoned the police again. He said, "Hello, I called you a minute ago because there were burglars in my workshop. Well, you don't have to worry about them now because I just shot all of them. You don't have to worry about them because I've just shot them all." And then he hung up. Within minutes, 3 police cars, an armed response unit, and an ambulance showed up. Of course, the police caught the robbers red-handed. But one of the officers said to George, "I thought you told me that you had shot them." To which George replied, "I thought you told me that there was no one available." Now, I don't recommend anyone trying to do this or get the attention of the police anytime. I don't recommend that, but it was just so that I could grab your attention this afternoon. When you look at this word content, one of the people that comes into your mind, out of the so many people, but one of the people that comes into your mind is none other than the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote in a Roman prison, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Let me say this. Let me give you a secret. Can I give you a little secret? Can I share a secret with you? If you are grateful, you will be content. If you are ungrateful, you will be discontent. If you are grateful, you will be content. It's amazing that Paul went through this phase, and he says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know exactly what it is." And this afternoon, I want to ask you, are you a contented person? Be honest. Are you satisfied with yourself? Are you satisfied with your marriage? Are you satisfied with your job? Are you satisfied with what you have? Are you satisfied? Do you and your spouse get along? Do you get along well or just some of the time? Maybe you're single and you're thinking, "If only I was married, I would be happy." Maybe you're married and you're thinking, "I wish I was single again." Listen, it's not a joke. I'm being very serious when I say this. These are some of the thoughts that people in churches have. When you get up in the morning, do you go in front of the mirror and say, "I look ugly. I wish I looked better. I wish I was good enough." You fail to understand that the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you go in front of the mirror and say, "Oh, wow, Lord, thank you"? Or do you go in front of the mirror and say, "Lord, help me. This is not what I imagined to be"? When the Apostle Paul says, "I've learned the secret of being content in every situation," it seems to me that he deserves a hearing. He's getting old. At this point in time, he's getting old. He doesn't have any money. He once was rich. His health is beginning to decline. He once was strong. He's in prison, but he once was free. But you know what allowed Paul to know that he's content, and what allowed Paul to have that old attitude of gratitude and say that, "I've learned what it is to be content in want or in need, whether I have or whether I don't have. I've learned what it is to be content." You know what it was? Paul understood this. That if God was all that he had, He had all that he needed. If God was all that he had all that he needed. And this afternoon, very quickly, it's going to be probably more of an exhortation. I just want to go on two major points. First, I want to talk about the enemies of contentment and then the secrets of contentment. The first enemy of contentment is unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. How many of us know that when our parents grew up, they didn't have things very easy? They had to work hard to accumulate a lot of the things that they had. But today, we want it instantly. Our parents know a lot of what it is to be grateful. Our grandparents know a lot of what it is to be grateful because they know the sacrifices they had to make. They know how hard they had to work in order for you and I to get what we have. But today, we want it easy. Young people, when they get married, they want everything right now. Sometimes people get married and then they discover that their spouse is not perfect. They go to work and then they discover, they pray for a job, they tell the church, they pray for the job, they tell the people around in the hangout to pray for the job, they tell the church to pray for the job, and then they get the dream job, they get their dream job lands in front of them, and then they go to the office, they go to work, and then they say their boss is not perfect. Some Christians think other Christians are perfect, and they would be perfect too once they became Christians. But that's not the case either. They're still attacked by temptation, and Christians do sin. So there's disappointment and discontent simply because of unrealistic expectations. The second thing is unfair comparisons. When you compare yourself to others, you're sure to find someone else more attractive, someone more gifted and talented than you, someone younger, someone stronger, and you'll always be discontented if you compare yourself to them. I've always said this, comparison is the thief of joy. You want to be miserable, you want to be unhappy, compare yourself to somebody else. He has a lot more than I have. For another Christian in the kingdom, you may think that another Christian has a lot more than you have. But I want you to know that God has no favorites. As much as God is that person's father, he's your father as well. And as much as God has blessed that person, God will bless you as well. Maybe differently from what that person has. But God's desire is to bless you every single day of your life. The way God does it is different. The timing of God is different. You just need to be happy and know that God is with you all the time. You just need to acknowledge and be mindful that God is for you all the time. You know, one of the most interesting things about Paul is that you never find him comparing himself to others except once here in Philippians to make a point. Tradition tells us that Paul was shot, and if Paul had compared himself to Simon Peter, he could have felt inferior, because tradition tells us that Peter was big and tall. Tradition also tells us that Paul had stooped shoulders and maybe was even quite homely. So if he had gone around comparing himself to others, he could have had a tremendous inferiority complex, but he didn't make unfair comparisons. The third enemy is unnoticed blessings. How many times we don't acknowledge what we have, what God has given us. We fail to acknowledge. And we keep waking up throughout the day. We keep saying, I wish this. We keep going on and on and on, but we fail to understand. We fail to notice the blessings that are already there before us. I say this time and again, and I'm going to say this again. If you wake up in the morning, count it as the biggest blessing in your life. You don't know someone who passed away yesterday, or you don't know someone else who did not have the privilege of waking up this morning. That is the greatest blessing, which means that God is not done with you. And if God's not done with you, He's going to take care of you every single step of the way till you reach your destiny, and provide for you till you reach your destiny. He's not done with you. We used to sing that song. We used to sing that song. We used to hear that song. Okay, Sarah, whatever will be, the future is, what? Not us to see. Listen, if you have a relationship with God, you can see into your future, you can speak into your future, and God will make it manifest in your life. Okay, Sarah. No. For Christians, it is not whatever will be. It is what God wants to happen in your life. It will happen. It's not Kesara, Kesara. How many of you remember the children's church Sunday school song? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will. Are you sure? And it will. Sometimes as adults, we need to do that. You know, when we think things are not going well for us, remind ourselves of the things that God has already done. And it will surprise you. It will make you realize, oh my goodness, God did all of this for us? How can He not do it again? Unnoticed blessings. The fourth enemy is uncontrolled ambition. The Bible does not condemn ambition. Okay, please. Know that the Bible does not condemn ambition. It encourages us to be ambitious and to strive for excellence. But when ambition is uncontrolled, or when it simply fuels our ego, it is not good. James writes, James writes in James 3 verse 16, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Uncontrolled ambition. Very quickly, I want to go to the secrets of contentment now. The first is, have an attitude of gratitude. All the way through Philippians, Paul talks about attitude. And he says, if you have an attitude that causes you to be grateful for everything God has given you, you'll find contentment. You'll find contentment. You know, Alistair MacLean, he quotes a story from Toller, this German mystic. One day Toller met a beggar. "God give you a good day, my friend," he said. The beggar answered, "I thank God I never had a bad day." Then Toller said, "God give you a happy life, my friend." "I thank God," said the beggar, "I'm never unhappy." Toller asked, "What do you mean?" "Well," the beggar said this, "when it is fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I am hungry, I thank God. And since God's will is my will, and whatever pleases Him pleases me, why should I say I am unhappy when I am not?" Then Toller looked at the man in astonishment, and he asked him, "Who are you?" The beggar said, "I am a king." And then Toller asked him, "Where is your kingdom?" And the beggar answered quietly, "In my heart. In my heart." As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It goes for the women also, okay? As a man or woman thinks in his or her heart, so is he or she. The power to get wealth is not some ability to magically cause money to reproduce. The power to get wealth is not some ability to magically cause money to reproduce. The power to get wealth is to work with money creatively so that it solves problems and it brings you returns. The power to get wealth is the wisdom to use resources in a way the people around you are benefited, but there's a returns called profit for your contributions. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he does not trust in you." What? "You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." You can begin each day by saying, "God, this is going to be a tough day. I hate my life. I hate my work. My spouse, my wife, my husband just keeps on going on every single day. I hate my family. I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it." Or you can say, "God, thank you for the new day you've given me. Thank you for the opportunities. Help me today to do something that will last for eternity. Use this day, Father, to your glory. Use me also to your glory." The second secret of contentment is seek to please Jesus and quit worrying about pleasing people. I'm telling you, the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added to you." Seek to please Jesus. Seek to please Jesus. This is self-explanatory. Seek to please Jesus. Don't run around trying to please people. Seek to please Jesus. In everything, seek to please Jesus. The last thing that I want to say, love people and show your concern for them. Love people and show your concern for them. You want to be, how many of you don't like when people are concerned about you? I'd love to see a show of hands. Anybody? Nobody? Really? Praise God. We all love it, right? When people are concerned about us, when you get a phone call, how are you doing? Everything going okay? Can I pray for you? Is there anything, you know, something happened? We all love it when people are concerned. I had a pretty crazy thing happen to me on Friday. Some of the people know. It was a very foolish thing. Some guy thought he owned the cop station. He cut me. No, I was on the middle lane. He didn't cut me like he didn't come into the lane like that. He came like that. Picked up my daughter from school. Almost missed a bang. Hit his car. Some words were exchanged. He said, "You don't know who I am." I said, "So." And then he said something. Ask me the story later. I'll tell you. And then I was like, "So what if you are this person? You can't take the law in your own hands. It could be your kids in your car. If something happened to them, would you be okay?" He said, "Yeah." And they said, "Now I'll teach you a lesson." I went home. 5 to 7 minutes later, I got a call from the police station. "Come to the police station." I told my wife and my daughter to come with me. I made a call to someone from our church. He said, "Don't be worried. Just go." But it was just to threaten me. He ended up saying sorry to me after the whole thing. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, even in that moment, different people called me and said, "Hey, are you okay? Everything okay? Do you want me to come there? Anything?" It just makes me understand, and it just shows me how much I'm loved. It just shows me how much I'm loved. It shows me that people are concerned about me. And it's the same for all of us. It's the same for all of us. That's why I love people and show your concern for them. Show your concern for them. You know, I can go on saying a whole bunch of things, but I just want to end over here. I know we have an update. I just want to end over here. And I just want, a lot has been said throughout this month, but I just want to say this. Live your life. Live your life being grateful for every single day. You may not have much, but live your life being grateful for what you do have. Live your life being grateful for what you do have, because when you are grateful for what you do have, God blesses you even more. And I just want to encourage you, not just during this series, but throughout this year, be grateful. Be grateful. Love people. Be there for people. And just be grateful for the goodness of God and for what God has done, for what God is doing, and for what God is about to do. Amen.